Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to NaNoWriMo Every Month. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 20 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and other things, and I am your guide on this journey to use NaNoWriMo to level up to professional output levels. Welcome to The Questions, Episode 72. Today, Melissa asks, short stories. I've been using them to practice techniques, point of view, description, etc., but I hear everyone talk about submitting them. Now, I'm pure indie. I have my books up and selling, and I'm working on a series of novelettes/novellas, they haven't decided their own length yet, that I'm hoping to finish soon. But is there a good reason to go through the trouble of submitting to various publications? I mean, you don't really make any money from it, and while I don't mind criticism, part of the reason I'm indie is I don't need others to reject my work to make me feel like a success. So what value is there in submitting? Right now, the only one I see, and it is tempting me a bit, is with 3 sales I qualify for CEFWA membership. Thoughts? Opinions? Ridicule? Well, Melissa, before I get to the meat of this, first off, a comment on novelettes and novellas. There aren't a lot of markets that pay very well that will accept them. Basically, once you hit 20,000 words, you've hit the hard ceiling of most serial markets. And the further you get over 10,000, the harder it is to get a sale. It's not that it doesn't happen. It happens quite frequently in terms of, you know, the number of stories that are bought. But an editor's job is to fill out an issue, and so they've only got so much room for longer-length works. It's much easier, all other things being equal, to sell a shorter work than a longer work to a magazine or an anthology. And that has to do with the editorial rationale, budget considerations, things like that. So if you're over 20,000 words, you don't even want to bother, because there's literally no one on the planet now that's including works that long in their publications as a matter of course. If you get a special offer, that's another thing entirely. But, as far as the value of submitting, the value of submitting is not to collect rejection notes. Rejection notes are a proxy to let you know how you've been working the system. The value of submitting is in the sale. If you sell a story into a paying market, and it should be a pro-rate paying market, you shouldn't be selling first-run stories to publications that don't pay pro-rates, because that's a lot of time and effort for not a lot of payoff. And publications that don't pay pro-rates are either reprint venues, in which case you can submit them after you publish them yourself, or they are of such a niche appeal with such small audiences that they're probably not worth your time to worry about. The real value in selling stories is that you're basically getting paid to advertise. If you sell a story and it winds up in a publication with a decent-sized readership, that publication is paying you for the privilege of showing your work to their customers. And this will expose you to a wider audience, and it's basically free money because as long as you're not signing a bad contract, there's nothing to then prevent you from publishing the work yourself once the exclusivity period expires. You do want to be careful about your contracts, and as you're looking at potentially CEFWA membership, using their model contract is a good guide because they're pretty stringent about the kinds of contracts they'll accept as qualifying. I'm not a huge fan of CEFWA. They try very hard, but they never did a hell of a lot for writers, and in today's world of indies, they do even less. However, the two things that they offer that are of value is the networking advantages of being able to hit the CEFWA suite at conventions without having someone else sign you in. And networking advantages also include, like, the CEFWA directory, so that if you are putting together an anthology, you can have access to people's email addresses and whatnot to solicit stories from people whose work you like. So there's those networking advantages, and then there's also, I believe they're currently offering a group health plan, and if you don't have health insurance elsewhere, that's a nice thing to have access to. Those are the reasons, in my opinion, that CEFWA is worth joining. But the membership fee is such that if you like those, you want to join once you can afford it, because it won't provide you a lot of other professional opportunities, particularly if you're not active in the community, and that usually involves a lot of politics with other writers, and that's the kind of thing I personally hate any closed community like that. You always have periodic moral panics, party politics in terms of internal party politics, ostracization, there's periodic election. There's all sorts of ways that being in that kind of a community and being really active can really turn against you as the winds of culture change hither and thither, as they tend to every 5 to 10 years in an organization like CEFWA. CEFWA is an organization that is infamous for its infighting, as the recent sad puppies, rabid puppies, anti-puppies drama over the Hugo Awards proves. It's a situation in which, as far as I'm concerned, there's no real clear-cut good guy. But then I would say that because I'm much more audience-focused. I don't much care for professional organizations unless they offer me a way to expand my audience or otherwise enhance my career, preferably through mutual advantage, because I'm a real mutual advantage kind of guy. However, getting paid to put your fiction in front of new readers is a very worthwhile endeavor, and anything you can do to raise your profile while getting paid for it is something worth considering. Depending on your strategy, it might not be right for you. I know writers who submit and are published frequently in the high-paying magazines and for whom it is a fabulous and integral part of their business plan. I know other writers who have used their short stories as a draw to their blog and put up a free short story a week or a free short story a month with buy links at the end and then pull it down once the time period expires. And they've found that that is a fantastic way to attract new readers as well. The question of what to do with your short stories is going to depend highly on your business plan, and the right answer for you might change as market conditions change. But as far as the things in play right now, those are the major positive arguments I see for submitting to professional publications. The downside, of course, is the time premium. If you're going to go through and run the gamut of the pro-paying markets, it's going to take you somewhere between 6 months and a couple of years, depending on how deep down the list you want to go. And the better your fiction is, or at least the better fit your fiction is for the given editor's tastes and needs, the longer it will take to hear back, because with most publications, you first go through slush readers who, if they like your story, they pass it up the chain to the assistant editor or the editor, who then has to read it and decide whether they like it, and if they like it, whether it's a good fit for an issue that they're putting together. So the better fit your story is for a given magazine, the more time you're going to spend in the submissions queue. And that's true everywhere with magazines, anthologies, the whole bit. And typically, if your story gets bought, you can expect 6 months to a year before it gets published, and then there is an exclusivity period after that, where you can't put it up on your own because they need to be able to exploit the work as a first publication type of deal. And that exclusivity period usually runs anywhere from 30 days to 6 months after publication. But if you have stories that you think might be a good fit for a given market, it's not a bad way to go. My personal current strategy is I generally take a year to cycle through submissions on any new short story. And occasionally I get a sale. Most of the time I don't, because I write stuff that tends to fall between genres and isn't a good fit for a lot of mainstream tastes. So make of it what you will. I hope that helps. It's less complicated than it sounds at first, but it was a really good question, and thank you very much for sending it in. Oh, and one other thing, if you are interested in how the short story market works and how to use it to maximal advantage, you should check out Doug Smith's excellent book, Playing the Short Game. It's Playing the Short Game by Douglas Smith. It's available in paperback and ebook pretty much everywhere, from a Canadian author who makes the bulk of his living from selling short fiction and from reselling short fiction that he's had published in the U.S. and Canada through foreign markets and reprint publications, as well as then publishing indies. So he's the guy to look for a real thorough understanding of how the short fiction market works and how you might be able to use it to your advantage. I hope to hear from you again, and all the rest of you, I'm running to the end of my current queue of questions. I've got about 6 or 7 episodes left after this, so do send them in, and please do consider chipping into the Patreon. That really helps me justify the time to my business partner that I sink into this thing. So with all that said, I'll see you tomorrow. NaNoWriMo Every Month is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at NaNoWriMoEveryMonth.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. NaNoWriMo Every Month is copyright 2016 by J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions and is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivatives License.